Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, September the 26th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, as we get his thoughts on last week's Miami Dolphins win against the Raiders, this week's upcoming game against the New England Patriots, and also get his thoughts and all the news on the Miami Dolphins roster news. They're doing a lot of shuffling with the roster. They're working out a lot of defensive linemen. They worked out two guys on Tuesday. As of early Wednesday morning, late Tuesday night, as I'm recording this, pretty much the very early hours of Wednesday morning, the Miami Dolphins, per Barry Jackson, have called up defensive end Jonathan Woodard to the 53-man roster from the practice squad, and they have released wide receiver Tanner McAvoy. McAvoy's not really needed anymore with Devontae Parker back, so he was expendable. And Woodard, you know, he missed his entire rookie year with Jacksonville. He was a seventh-round pick because he tore his Achilles tendon in training camp, in OTAs, actually. Missed the season, was picked up by Atlanta, put on their practice squad in 2017, let go in October. Then the Miami Dolphins picked him up late last year in December of 2017, put him on the practice squad where he is right now, and they're going to call him up. He really hasn't had any real live NFL game action, but right now the Miami Dolphins are so thin at defensive end. They need all healthy, warm bodies on deck, and this is probably the first move. There's going to be more, but Jonathan Woodard has been promoted to the active roster, or will be probably by the time most of you are listening to this, per reports out of the Miami Herald. And I expect the Miami Dolphins to add another defensive lineman this week to their roster because they just don't have enough bodies right now. And they don't have enough guys who can play defensive end and stop the run. Wake is 36 years old. You have to limit his snaps. Charles Harris, not known for being a run stuffer at all. Pretty much just a pass rush specialist. And Robert Quinn's very good, but you know, he's not known for, once again, helping stop the run. And when you lose Andre Branch, you lose William Hayes, they need warm bodies at defensive end to help out there. So I will talk to Antoine in a few minutes, and we'll talk to him about that and all the other roster moves. It looks like they're going to also bring up or re-sign defensive end Cameron Melvo and put him on the practice squad. So that's good. He played in 4 games for Miami last year, I believe. And they made some other moves. So we'll talk about all that with Antoine when I get him on. One thing I want to talk about before we get to Antoine, though, is, you know, with the Miami Dolphins off to this 3-0 start to open up the 2018 season, they're opening up a lot of eyes nationally. As we all know, heading into the season, most people in the quote-unquote national media had the Miami Dolphins left for dead, one of the either the worst team in the league or one of the two or three worst teams in the league. They're terrible. They're not going to beat anybody. They're probably only going to win 2 or 3 games all year and all that stuff we heard. And all it took, it seems like, was 3 wins and a couple shovel passes by Ryan Tannehill for Ryan Tannehill to at least get some respect nationally. It seems like the national media narrative is starting to turn on Tannehill. And finally, for the first time probably in his entire NFL career, he's getting some respect nationally. And it does make you chuckle for people like us who follow the team day in, day out, year round, that it took just a couple shovel passes and some big runs from some speedy wide receivers for the narrative to turn. Because before Tannehill got hurt in 2016, you know, he won 8 of 9 games or so. He was 8-1 in his last 9 starts. The Arizona game, which he got hurt, he was throwing out of his mind, having the game of his life before that injury, hitting guys all over the place. One of his better games he's probably ever played. And all it took was a 3-0 start and a couple shovel passes, and now the national media is falling in love with Ryan Tannehill. And honestly, I couldn't be happier for him because, let's be honest, since 2012, when he came into this league, and I don't like to curse on this podcast, so I try not to, but I can't remember a player who's been, for lack of a better word, shit on more than Ryan Tannehill by not only the local media, we know who, we don't have to say the names, but also the national media, who is just, you know, for some reason, relishes in just ripping Tannehill no matter what. And it seems like now, in 2018, he's finally starting to get some respect from people who cover the league. And, you know, good for him. He deserves it. Right now, he's playing very well. And he deserves all the respect he gets because he's earned it. It's been a long uphill battle. Last year, not being able to play, I'm sure, drove him nuts. And it's a long road to recovery to get back to where he is now. And the knee looks great. Looks like he's 100%. He looks like the same guy who he was before the injury. He's making plays with his legs. He's sitting in the pocket, not afraid to take a hit. And, you know, hopefully he continues his good play because Tannehill is a big part that the Miami Dolphins are 3-0. Sunday against the Raiders, you know, if you're one of the haters or one of the naysayers, you can say, Tannehill just get a couple shovel passes. And the wide receivers did all the work. He did nothing. I'm not giving him any credit. That's so far from the truth. It's almost not even worth commenting on. Tannehill, with his legs, made one big play run. And, you know, the touchdown pass to Kenny Stills and some of the other passes he made in that game were things of beauty. And he really did have a heck of a game on Sunday. Even if you count the shovel passes, technically his handoffs, which I wouldn't even argue, that's essentially what they are. Take those plays out of the equation. Take them out. He still had a heck of a game. And he was a big reason the Miami Dolphins won. And, you know, kudos to him. And hopefully the good play continues. This week, obviously, we're going up in class. You're going to New England where they almost never lose. And I know the Patriots right now are down. But you can't write them off. You can't count them out. They're still New England. Have a Hall of Fame head coach. Have a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame tight end. And you can make a case, all three of those guys at their positions might be the best ever. You really could make that case. You can make a case. Bill Belichick's the greatest head coach of all time. He's passed Lombardi and all stuff. Nobody would argue with you. You can make a case. Tom Brady, who's played in, what, 8 Super Bowls, I think? I don't know. I lost count. I think it's 8. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. Nobody would argue with you. And when it comes to Gronk, you really could make the case. He's the most dominating and feared tight end in NFL history. Very few people would argue with you there, too. It will be an uphill battle. They have their issues, but the Miami Dolphins right now have a lot of injuries. So I'm going to talk about that as well with Antoine. So right now I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'll be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, as we talk all things Miami Dolphins.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I am doing great. So before we start talking about the games, there's a lot of injuries for the Miami Dolphins right now that we need to go over. First, let's start with Rashad Jones. What's the status of him? Is this probably going to come down to what was like this past week where we might not know anything till Sunday morning on if he's going to play or not?
We Adam Gase didn't necessarily talk about that on Monday, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same thing this week. I would expect him to play against the Patriots, but right now we're still kind of in the dark about that. So we'll have a little bit more clarity on that tomorrow. But yeah, he practiced all week. Obviously didn't play on Sunday. They thought it was best just to keep him out, and despite some of the struggles defensively, they did end up winning.
Yep, absolutely. It was sort of rough at the start of the game, but they sort of settled down in the secondary, and they made plays late, which is what really matters. So hopefully he's able to go this week. Defensive line, obviously Hayes out for the year. Andre Branch out for a month. It looks like they're going to sign Cameron Melvo to the practice squad, so that's good. And today they also worked out a few players in Robert Ayers and Coney Ealy. Are they going to be looking at some other guys, you think? What's going on with the defensive line, and are they in the market for just one guy? Maybe you think they'll add a couple, because right now they're really thin at end until Andre Branch gets back.
Well, they do have one open spot left on the roster now. They could kind of navigate that around and manipulate that depending on they, of course, they have the number of quarterbacks on their roster, and they also have five running backs as well. So if they needed to let go of some other people, they could. At least right now, they do have one open spot. So I definitely think that that's definitely going to go in that area. Kendall Langford is a guy that obviously they brought him in training camp. They ended up releasing him during final cuts. I wouldn't be surprised if he was a guy they were possibly looking at as well, too. They might want to sign one of those guys that ended up working out, who you alluded to as well, because they like to have a lot of a variety of different defensive linemen. Yeah, they like Cameron Wake. They like Robert Quinn. But I don't think they necessarily want to use them exclusively all the time. They want to make sure they stay fresh for not only during the course of the game, but also during the course of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the rookie Charles Harris, who's more known for being a pass rusher, not much of someone who can sort of set the edge on the run and stuff like that. And he's still young. He's still developing. So I think Langford, to me, is a perfect fit for the spot. And I wouldn't be shocked if they brought him back. But right now they are really thin. And I also saw today that they signed linebacker Martrell Spate. I guess that's just to protect against Chase Allen if there's something going on there with his foot injury. Would you think that's probably the only reason why? Yeah. So that makes sense there. So there's going to be some pieces here probably to be added this week. But I think Langford makes the most sense to me because he's sort of like Hayes, as in he's a veteran, more known for being a run stopper than more of a pass rusher. He sort of fits that Hayes mold, maybe not as good as Hayes, but he fits that mold.
Yeah, definitely. And also somebody that can play in the inside as well as the outside if you need him to as well. So I definitely think that would definitely make a lot of sense. And he lives down here in South Florida. So all you have to do is just kind of give him a phone call and he'll be right there at the facility.
That always helps. So
helps. It's very convenient for them. I'm curious to see what happens to the tight end position with AJ Derby. He also suffered an injury on Sunday as well. If he's going to be out an extended period of time, that's another area they're going to have to address as well, because he's done a solid job out there blocking for the Dolphins early on this season.
Yep, and they added Nick O'Leary last week to the practice squad, so he'd probably be the person they look to call up. I would take a guess, unless they were to continue to look outside for another tight end. But O'Leary, I would think, would probably get the first crack at it if AJ Derby couldn't play. Let's talk about the game. Obviously, against the Raiders game, it's sort of, like I say, almost every week, it reminds you so much of 2016, a game that comes down to a wire, a close game, a one-score game, that the Miami Dolphins somehow, some way, you don't even know how half the time, find a way to win, and they come out with a victory. What was your big takeaway from the Dolphins' win over the Raiders this past Sunday?
Well, I think Xavien Howard is just—he's starting to arrive. And I thought—I mean, even last year we thought he was playing like one of the best cornerbacks in football. Came back this year as far in training camp, playing like similar type style to shutting down receivers, mostly Devontae Parker, when they was against each other, and that's really carried over in camp. He had two interceptions on Sunday. Obviously, the biggest one kept the Raiders off the scoreboard, and who knows what would have happened if Howard didn't come down with that interception. The Raiders might have ended up scoring, and we might be talking about them being 1-2 instead of them being 0-3, and the Dolphins losing their first game. That's how big of a difference it was.
Yeah, absolutely. And Howard, you know, he's been spectacular so far this year. He ended last year on a high note, and as fans, everyone was hoping this would carry over into 2018, and boy, has it ever. He has been lights out. 7 interceptions in his last 8 games, I believe the stat is. And, you know, hats off to him. He's one of the elite cornerbacks in the league now, and he continues to improve week after week. And when you have a player at that level, he sort of changes the way Matt Burke will call a game and just sort of changes the way the rest of the defense plays. Is, you know, you can put him by himself out there on an island against anyone and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, and that sets up your entire defense. Now you don't have to have that safety, always have that safety protection behind them. Sometimes you can just kind of let him do his thing, and you know he's going to be there, and he's going to shut down one half of the field. And that enables you to do so much defensively with calls and blitzes and things like that as well. So that definitely helps any kind of defense out.
Yep. On the other side of the ball, I think the big takeaway for me was just the big plays the Miami Dolphins had. And obviously the two big plays with Albert Wilson, his pass to Grant, and then his run to sort of close out the game, as well as the Tannehill pass to Kenny Stills in the first half, which was just a thing of beauty for that touchdown. And Tannehill, it seems like, you know, he threw a couple shovel passes there and the team went 3-0. And now people all around the country are starting to give him a little bit more respect than they have in years past. It's like, hey, Miami's winning. Tannehill, he's playing well. Maybe he's not so bad. From a national perspective, it seems like this week, since that win against the Raiders, he's getting a little bit more respect in the eyes of the national media.
Yeah, I think so. I think they finally, I think the 3-0 start, nobody really saw it coming. And now people are saying, well, you know, the Dolphins are leading the division not only just by a game, but by two games over the Patriots because they're not playing particularly well. And now they play against each other. So why are they playing so well? And it's really been the efficiency of Ryan Tannehill. He's done such a really good job just taking care of the football, completing 73% of his passes, throwing touchdowns, and just some laser strikes. And then they're winning in part because of Ryan Tannehill and the way he's playing, not because of just in spite of that. And I think they've really shown, and he's just being a great leader around them. And the offense is really – he's grown a lot along with that offense. And I think having the weapons that he does and DeKane Grant and also Albert Wilson, people that can stretch the field and have that vertical speed, also helps.
Yep, absolutely. And the stat that sort of shocks me, and we spoke about this after the game here on the podcast, was the Miami Dolphins only ran 44 offensive snaps on Monday or on Sunday, which is very low for an NFL team. And Wilson was only on the field for 10 offensive snaps. So think about the impact he made in that game. He was only on the field for 10 offensive snaps, and Jakeem Grant was only on the field for 9 offensive snaps. Those two guys, you can make a case, you know, won the game for Miami with their offensive plays. They were on the field virtually none of the time. 1 for 10 snaps, 1 for 9 snaps, and the impact they made just goes to show speed still kills in the NFL. And when you have guys with speed like that, get them the ball in space, and they can make big plays from anywhere on the field.
Yeah, and also the fact that you have multiple guys that have speed like that.
Yep.
Not just talking about Grant and also Wilson, but Kenny Stills is also fast as well.
Yep,
he has some he has some vertical speed as well. And you have Kenyon Drake, who I know he didn't have a great game, but you know he can be a burner out there at times as well. Devontae Parker, I mean, he's definitely a big guy, but he's definitely fast for the size that he is. And even he made a big catch down the field at one point in time too during that game. So yeah, I think it's just really what they're doing is it's just been a collective effort of players. It's been an ultimate – people say football is the ultimate team game, and I think the Dolphins have really shown that the first 3 weeks of the season. They're not relying on just one particular person for their success. They're relying on a lot of different people. They're not getting – you know, they're not having receivers that – one receiver like in the past with Jarvis Landry that's taking a bulk of the receptions. They're having a lot of different guys contribute, and it's showing and – it's been successful so far. We'll see if it continues. This next three games are going to be really critical. The first three were winnable games, but these next three are definitely going to be as difficult as they can get.
Yep, more of a challenge. And let's talk about this upcoming week game. We have the Patriots, 1-2. They haven't looked great so far by any means, but still New England Patriots, and you can't totally write them off yet. They're going to be heading back home for the first time since week one. They're not the same. I've been saying this all week. Look, they're still the Patriots. Nobody's going to be crazy enough to write them off by any means. But they're not the same team they've been in years past. Wide receivers, they are really thin. I know people talk about Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, you know, if you can get him on the field, that's half the battle. Once he's on there, he's got to learn that playbook, which we've seen other wide receivers head up there and struggle with immensely. Josh Gordon really doesn't put the fear in me right now. Edelman's gone for another week, so they don't have to worry about them. Just running backs, I think Rex Burkhead's injured. I'm not even sure if he'll play. Sony Michel's still a rookie. James White scores one touchdown a week but does like nothing else. They're just not the same team on offense, let's start with, that they have been in years past. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they rebound from losing two in a row.
Yeah, they've never lost. They have lost three in a row under Belichick and Brady since 2002. So I think history kind of says that it may not happen, but if it were to happen, this would be the situation where it would. I'm not writing them off at it.
They've had
bad starts before. Most recently in 2014, when people thought they were dead in the water and saying they wouldn't be a good team anymore. And of course, that was Trent Dilfer said. I ended up writing about that yesterday. And lo and behold, they ended up finishing 12-4 and winning the Super Bowl. So yeah. you can't really write them off. They're not playing well right now, but. Yeah, you get Josh. Well, nobody. The thing about Josh Gordon is the wild card. Nobody knows how good he's going to be on Sunday. We know he's going to play, even though Belichick refused to answer that today. That tells me he's going to play. He just didn't want to necessarily give that away to the Dolphins, which, understandably so, he doesn't have to. He doesn't do anything. But, yeah, I think he's going to play. He's going to play a substantial role for the team. How well he does, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, on the surface, it definitely looks like if the Dolphins are going to take charge in of this division and finally get it done, this will be the time. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a relatively close game, and I'm curious to see how well the Dolphins play and how far they've come along, to be completely honest with you. Because even in a loss, even if they were to lose the game, if you have a respectable loss, I think people will say, oh, okay, this team is
on to something.
Yeah, they're on to something. But if you get blown – but if you get blown out by 14 points like they've been doing the last few years, then people say, oh, well, it's just the same old Dolphins. They were a fraud. They weren't that good to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's really unfortunate is I think if Miami was healthy on defense, if we knew for sure Jones was going to play, if we had – okay, Hayes is lost for the years. If we at least had Andre Branch and had more depth along that line, I really think Miami could head up there and come out with a win and sort of – give the Patriots their best shot. It's unfortunate that they're going to be thin on the line. And I think New England's obviously a smart enough team with a Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame head coach, Hall of Fame tight end, where they can take advantage of Miami's weakness this week, probably on the line. I wouldn't be shocked if they just line up and run it down their throat until Miami can show that they have the linemen in there that can stop the run, because the lack of depth at defensive end might be a thing where the Patriots look to take advantage of, and they're the type of team that's smart enough to do it.
Yeah, I thought the Raiders, that's what the Raiders messed up at. I thought they should continue to run the ball, and because I thought the Dolphins couldn't stop it. I just thought they got too cute later on in the game, and they were throwing on first down, and it was incomplete. And then when you throw it on first down and then you don't get any yards, you're kind of behind the eight ball there on second down, and you're trying to make up for the yardage that you didn't get on first down. And it just kind of puts you in kind of a precarious situation because you don't want to be in third and long. But, yeah, you're having success running the football. I just didn't get why they continue to go to Marshawn Lynch, especially on the fourth and one play. I would have definitely given it to Lynch there early.
Nobody wants to give him the ball at the goal line. It's amazing. Nobody wants to give the guy the ball at the goal line. Makes no sense.
Yeah. But I didn't think the Raiders were going to – I mean, I didn't think the Dolphins were going to be able to stop them. I really didn't.
So I didn't think so either.
I thought that they messed up just in times not running the football. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think that with the line being as thin as what it is, I would definitely run the football. And also their linebacking core is still suspect as far as covering running backs out the backfield. And, you know, the Patriots do that as well as anybody, throw to their backs a whole lot, and I expect that to be the case on Sunday. They know what the Dolphins' weaknesses are, especially in that linebacking core, and I expect them to try to exploit that as much as possible.
Absolutely, and on the other side of the ball, for Miami to have any chance to win, I think this would be the week where they're just going to have to flat out outscore them. The Patriots on defense, they struggled against Jacksonville, a team that only put up 9 points against the Titans. They struggled against the Lions, a team who through week one and two really struggled on offense. Miami's going to need to put up a lot of points to win this week. And look, they have the players to do it. We've seen it. They got the speed and they got the players to do it. But for any chance for Miami to win, they're going to have to pretty much outscore the Patriots, Tom Brady, probably win a shootout this week, because the Patriots on that side of the ball are still struggling. They struggled at the end of last year. And in the first part of this year, they're still struggling to stop teams. So that's where Miami is probably going to have to make up their hay there and just put up some points, a lot of them.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, especially on the road. But I will say this, at least this year they've been consistently scoring, over 20 points per game, which I think is a big key. I think for you to have a chance in any game, you get to that 20 mark, especially if your defense is playing well, you have a shot. But, yeah, I guess the Patriots and the way they've been playing, I think this particular week they may need to if they crack the 30 mark, they can crack the 30 mark, then definitely they'll win this game. But anything below that, it kind of gets a little tricky, as we know how the Patriots can get rolling at times. And, yeah, they still have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they still have arguably the best coach of all time. And that's definitely always the recipe for success.
Yep, and they still got Rob, and they still have the big tight end, Rob Gronkowski, how Miami's going to be able to slow him down or stop him. That'll be interesting as well. That'll be a big test for Minka and everybody else involved there who's going to try and slow him down, because he has caused Miami's fits over the years. So what's your prediction on this game? I can sort of tell where you're leaning, and I think you're probably where most people are with this game. How do you think it's going to play out on Sunday?
I think the Dolphins will have a respectable showing, but, yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots in this one. I just think that, they've lost two straight. They know they need to win. They're going to come in their focus. It is at Foxborough. They tend not to lose a lot, many times there, no matter who they're playing.
Almost never. So, it's tough.
Yeah, I'm going to go with New England here, but I do think the Dolphins are going to keep it close for the most part.
I'm probably sort of in the same boat with you. I think it's going to be a closer game. I think if Miami was healthy, I think they'd have a real good shot. But I think all the injuries they have right now, and plus they're still young in some spots, except at linebacker and stuff, where someone like Tom Brady can sort of, take advantage of that. You'll see James White probably mash up against our young linebackers in the passing game, and trying to stop him might be a challenge. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a close game. But, hey, the fact that the Miami Dolphins are even in a game like this come late September, where, they have a two-game lead over the Patriots, sort of speaks for itself of where the team is going. And if they ever found a way to win, people would then maybe not start to write the Patriots off, but, they'll be more inclined to say, you know what, they're coming to an end here. And it might be the end of the line for them, but that's still a tall task to win in Foxborough, where they just don't lose often.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a tough game for them. I will say this, if you're going to finally just push over the top and finally – declare you're there, you've arrived, and you kind of have to win games like this. Yeah. It's never easy. It's never easy beating a team that's a dynasty like this, no matter whether it be the 49ers in the 80s or the 90s or the Cowboys of the 90s or whatever the case may be. You kind of have to win tough games like this and show that, you've arrived. And that's the Dolphins are going to face on Sunday. It wouldn't surprise me if they would have won, but I'm definitely going to take the Patriots. But, you just kind of have to hope, and if they were to lose this game, that it's just not a start of something to come. And, of course, you got a tough Cincinnati team who lost a close game to the Carolina Panthers yesterday. I think a Cincinnati team that might be the best team in the AFC North. And then, of course, you got the Bears, who a much improved team after that. So they definitely got some tough sled in the next 3 weeks. We're going to learn a lot about the Dolphins in the next 3 weeks.
We're going to learn a lot, because the next two home games against the Bears and Lions, the Chicago Bears and the Lions are both coming off a bye week too. So that's going to be something else to watch. When they play Miami, they're going to be well rested. It's going to be early in the year, so they probably don't have a lot of injuries, and the few that they have, they're going to be able to rest up and get healthy before they play Miami. So the next month is going to pretty much tell the tale of this Miami Dolphins season. If they can survive it, maybe split the next 4 games and be, 5-2 when it's all said and done, they're in very good shape. But obviously anything more than that's great. But I would say at least split it, because this next month is going to be some tough games for the Dolphins.
Yeah, it definitely is. Really just – and then you got the Houston game on Thursday night on a short week. And then, obviously you have the rematch against the Jets. Yeah, really all the way to the bye week is going to be it really gets interesting. This is really the part of their schedule where things start to pick up. And, that's why I said it was very vital for them to start 3-0, because I thought that would be the best chance for them to have any chance to make the playoffs. You start 1-2, you're already behind the 8-ball there, and now you're trying to catch up against teams that, at least on paper, that could be more superior than you. At least now with 3-0, it gives you a little bit more of a mulligan if you were to lose. Even if they were to lose against the Patriots and Cincinnati, you're still 3-2, and then
you're coming home for two games. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You're able to beat the Bears and the Lions. You're 5-2, and you're still in good position.
Still in very good position. So, Antoine, thanks so much for a few moments of your time today. Everyone, be sure to follow Antoine Staley on Twitter at Antoine Staley and check out his work at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com. Antoine, you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.